the sound you can hear in the background is the comforting air conditioning as it cools us in this room in central London. And I'm sat with...
Simon Randall, Managing Director of OMG Life.
And I'm fascinated by the history of that name. Oh my God, Life. But it doesn't actually stand for, oh my good, it's a happy... Oh my God, it's a happy accident, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It actually came from Original Business Foundation in 1984. It was called Oxford Metrics Group. So the business basically was founded around motion capture technology that was being used in the medical field. So using a range of kind of cameras and lights and reflective technologies to understand people's curvature of spine and knees, basically looking at osteoporosis in a range of different areas. So it came from a very kind of interesting and humble and very kind of medical beginning, really.
And interestingly, the Providence continued into developing cameras to assist people with Alzheimer's.
Yeah, so the original business was basically looking heavily into the medical area. That quickly grew with the onslaught of basically animation into the film and computer industry. Vicon Technologies now kind of a motion leading work, kind of motion capture service. And as Christian was saying, Christian, documentally?
Yes, anything.
Either. As Mr. Documentally was saying, that basically took the business on a journey with Microsoft. Specifically with their labs team down in Cambridge, where we took over some of their SenseCam technology. So they basically spent 5 or 6 years investigating wearable automatic camera technologies to help the Alzheimer's and dementia market. Big problem with people with Alzheimer's and dementia is they kind of really struggle to access short-term memory. So they kind of really struggle to remember the facts from everyday life, from the last day, from the last week and the last 2 weeks. The Microsoft guys had spent a few years trying to work out how to give the patients a device to wear that would capture core moments from throughout their life. And the idea being at the end of the day, they'd sit down with their carer, they could review the images, and as they saw core moments, it would be a big trigger point back into short-term memory. The view being that over time, that could actually start to stimulate brain function back again. Vicon, which is one of the OMG PLC businesses, took the license for that device around 3 or 4 years ago and has been selling that around the world, mostly into medical institutions. I mean, what that's done is taught us a huge amount of things, but actually that quickly bubbled up into some new kind of consumer domains. The business started to get phone calls from, you know, budding photographers, people that are into ethnographic research, people that were just fed up when they're out having to stop enjoying themselves, get their camera out, get their friends to pose, and then, as we all know, you end up with, you know, 20 images of the night where your friends are all got big cheesy grins, they've got thumbs sticking up in the air, and actually it's not really what they wanted. So lots of people that were just intrigued by, well, that's a great kind of new wearable technology. And they kept calling support services and saying, so yeah, I've been using your product. And we said, what, the medical one? They said, yeah, yeah. So I've been using it to kind of shoot my wedding, or I've been using it to take out to the park. I've been using it with my friends. And they were kind of starting to make suggestions of new functionality we may want to add in. So they love the wide-angle lens. They loved the fact that it captured really natural and authentic images that they weren't kind of used to seeing. But what they wanted was they wanted better image quality. They wanted more social sharing functionality. They wanted to be able to edit and understand those images better on the desktop, which was basically a few years ago when the business kind of sat up and kind of scratched their head and said, well, we think there might be something in this, at which point we got one of the big ad agencies in town to start doing a bit of kind of proposition research for us to say, if we were going to take this into the consumer domain, what type of product would it look like? What type of services would we need around it? What would the data model look like? What do people really want? And, you know, what is this type of product and how is it going to be kind of adopted? And that's kind of what the journey we've been on for the last 2 years.
And we are entering really fascinating times when it comes to wearable technology. For those that haven't seen The Autographer, explain to me exactly what you've, I won't say ended up with, because I imagine this is going to develop over time. I've seen the app. I've seen the kind of desktop platform. I've got to play with the hardware itself, and I'm amazed how well it appears to work right now before you've kind of officially delivered it to everybody. Tell me what it does now.
Well, basically, as I said, we've had the previous product, which is the Vicon Review, that we've been learning a huge amount of things off for the last 3 years. So having had a product already in market for 3 years means we know a lot about what makes a device wearable. So what are people happy to wear? What's the operation? So with a device that's basically using intelligence to work out when's the best time to take a photo, you need to trust it. In order to trust a product and start to love it, you need to be able to get the right levels of feedback from it. So we've got quite a lot of nuances we've learned around when we need to give the user feedback that the device is working and taking pictures, what types of information you need to get as you scroll through the menu. which again is another reason we built a quite nice interface for the OLED screen basically into the new device, which wasn't on the medical product. Mm. So all that basically means we're a lot happier. We've had 300 people over Christmas basically beta testing the device. So we've got a range of, interestingly, photographers, people that create videos, people that aren't really into photography, but just like this kind of the social scene, as well as a few research agencies that are out in the field daily documenting pictures. I won't bore you with all the technical details on the kind of the intelligence that we use to take the picture. But interestingly, we ran a photo competition over Christmas for all the people that have been using the device. So quite straightforward mechanic. Could you please all send in your best photographs against these kind of four or five categories? Then we all sat around after Christmas and reviewed the pictures, and we all started scratching our heads and saying, actually, a lot of these pictures are similar things that you could kind of expect to get from your SLR or your compact camera. And we thought, that's quite strange. So then we kind of called up the people that have been using the device and said, you just seem to have sent through normal-looking photographs. And they said, yeah, but because you said it was a photograph competition, and this is what photographs are. And we were like, okay, that's interesting. So people have got a really strong view of what a photograph is. It's kind of nicely cropped, everything's in the middle of the frame, and it looks like what you expect it to look like. And then you start asking questions of, okay, so if we'd said send us your best photographs or your favourite photographs or the ones that are more interesting, and then everyone starts to get really excited and said, well, these are all the photographs I wanted to share, but because you'd kind of set a photograph competition, that's what I sent through. And then I guess we spent the last 3 months just really understanding what autography really is. So what is it about wearable, wide-angle, natural objective images that stand them very much apart from what a digital camera can produce? Obviously, we've got a lot of rhetoric and ideas of what we thought that was, but now we've actually got people actively using it in the market. We know that they create a hell of a lot of magical shots. And that kind of really natural and objective view of everyday life, and with the kind of the wide angle, so we've got about 136-degree angle on the lens, you get so much extra atmosphere and kind of life and coverage in the shot because it's not just about the person in the middle. It tells you a really different story. So the everyday becomes very interesting. And it's not all about people's faces, and it's not all about texture. And it's a really interesting thing.
I'm interested in this history which has come into this kind of experimental present time, and yet the future for many people involved in this kind of technology right now seems to be very unmapped. You know, words to me like surveillance, not surveillance, but surveillance, where everybody is suddenly now enabled to watch the watchers. And in many ways, the data and information from these devices can be made public. I've seen the way that your system works at the moment, and it is, you really do have to decide before you kind of publicise what it is you're capturing. And I kind of like how cautious you're being. Are you kind of waiting to see what happens as people find uses for this device? Because there's going to be, you know, so many incredible new and innovative things that are done with this. There's going to be some stuff that you might go, that's not what we designed it for, but that's going to happen. You know, recently I heard a story about a GoPro being used in a kidnapping. How will you take all of that on board when it happens? Because society changes technology, technology changes society. And this is really kind of brave ground for any company to go into to develop something which is going to, I think, change people's perceptions over documenting their life as much as, if maybe if not more, because I think this is more accessible than Google Glass. That's quite a big question, isn't it?
That was quite a big question. But a good one. I guess the first thing that we've done is, so we're at a very early stages in this type of product, I think. I mean, we've been selling the medical product for a few years, and we've had a few people out using this device. But every time we sit with a new person, they instantly think of 6 or 7 brand new usages that make this device really interesting to them. And a lot of it's related back to their kind of hobbies and passion points. I mean, if you think about, you know, 30 years ago when we didn't have life logging devices, not as many smartphones, and people used to write things down in a diary, remember that? And people used to get very upset if, you know, brother steals sister's diary and starts to read all her innermost thoughts because she's lost control over that data. A lot of the design principles we put into certainly the design of the hardware, so the autographer itself, and then also the desktop, kind of we want to make sure we give the user control over the data they're capturing, and then also it's then up to them who and how they share that and kind of where they take it to. Obviously, over time, it's going to be very interesting to see how the market does adopt the product. At a high level, we've tried to give the user, I guess, 100% control over what they do with the images once they come off the device. So what we're allowing you to do is stream the pictures through to your smartphone. We're not storing them there, but we're kind of streaming them across so that you can then edit, and then it's up to you whether you want to share them with friends, whether you want to share them to social networks, creating videos, GIFs, adding music, etc. And then on the desktop, there's a much richer experience where you can kind of scroll back through your thousands of images, look at your days, create diaries, kind of life blogs, update them to blogging sites, social networks, etc.
I love the automated animated GIF creation tool. I mean, God, you must have some geeks in-house to rustle that up. So do you want a video or do you want an animated GIF? There's a lot that I actually like, and I do think I'm feeling a lot more comfortable with the sudden shock that might hit society when they've got, which is quite a powerful documenting tool, because I've seen that. Just having a conversation with you guys online straight away, I think you will grow with the product as its uses get discovered. And if you do want to speak to Autographer and find out more, they are Autographer on Twitter. Do you have a personal Twitter account?
I have a personal Twitter account, yeah.
It's personal. Yeah, direct your conversations to Autographer. How long before people can start experimenting and playing?
So, as I said, we've had a range of beta testers out in the market, actually, since Christmas. Mm. What that's done is given us a huge amount of feedback, actually, around just additional functionality.
I mean, the general public, how before they can just order it from the site and
so
get
that's
one.
What I'm saying. So we've had a lot of people out using it, which has meant we've just kind of got a final few tweaks to the product. We're just in the process of ramping up production in a few other areas, so we'll be out pretty soon.
And it's pretty British in its origins, isn't it?
So Oxford Metrics Group, obviously, started in Oxford.
Yeah.
We tried as hard as we could to try and keep as much of the kind of the manufacturing process in the UK as we can. Obviously, the product was kind of owned and designed in the UK. We're doing our assembly up in Scotland to start with. So we're working with one of the big global EMS houses. But keeping that kind of manufacturing local to begin with means we get a lot more attention. We can get there and back in a day. There's a much more bigger focus on certainly quality to start with.
Mm.
Over time, if you know the thing does take off, then obviously we might need to look at other additional routes. But to start with, we've got as much kind of around the UK as we can. Obviously, a range of the components come from all around the world, as they do with any hardware product. But we're quite proud of the fact that we managed to keep a lot of this on our shores. So,
how is this device, forgetting about the whole business side of things and how you're probably putting a lot of hours in the day into this, how has it actually changed the way that you document and take pictures?
Well, it's quite interesting, actually. So I was at Nokia for 12 years. And I remember the first time I kind of came across the opportunity to come across and lead the business into the consumer kind of domain. And actually, I got handed one piece of A4 with kind of some guarded comments and things around what the kind of the overall product proposition could be. And it was at that point that it really struck me that I'd spent maybe the last 6 years in telecoms where we'd been launching seeming innovations, but actually small developments in certain technology areas. This was the first thing I'd actually seen maybe for 3 or 4 years that I thought, wow, that's a really new and fundamentally different approach to what is a really old sector. So kind of trying to reinvent what the art of photography is, trying to give people a device that kind of automatically captures great moments throughout their life and allows them to tell much richer stories about themselves was just a really fundamental thing for me. And then the fact that we're capturing all of the five sensors and the GPS data alongside just meant we were kind of on one of those journeys where it's going to take us a bit of time until people start to discover what they really want to tell and what kind of extra account they want to make of their lives based on those bits of data. So it was kind of the fact that we were just at the kind of the start of a really interesting and fresh new area that is yet to be defined. So the fact that we've got a great product and we got a bit of a head start because we've been selling the review for a few years and a lot of excitement around what we've got to come. It just means we're going to basically, as soon as we get to market, we're going to need to keep tabs on what everyone's doing, learn from how people are using the device, and then quickly keep evolving for the next few years, I think.
Oh, I see an evolution in blogging. I see an evolution in a lot of people's perceptions of image taking in society. I can't wait to see what comes out from people's devices. Thank you very much for inviting me here today to have a look at this. Thank you, Simon. And, yeah. Exciting times ahead.
No worries. Thank you very much, Christian.